Well, hey everyone, and welcome to this second half of this special episode of the UU Bible Study Podcast, where we're laying some groundwork and providing additional information that we hope can help deepen your understanding of Wilda Gaffney's, Dr. Gaffney's Year of the Woman, and sort of lay out what it means that we are using a lectionary. Now, Michelle has done an incredible job sort of walking us through the history of the lectionary, how the lectionary is put together, and its use, particularly in Christian settings and in Christian worship. But I want to talk about sort of the other side of the coin from the lectionary, and that is the liturgical or church year. The liturgical year, the church year, is what the lectionary is based on in the sense that the readings that we find in our lectionary texts are related to the days that they are associated with, the Sundays that they fall on. So if you'll allow me, I'd like to just sort of give you a crash course of what the church year is and what it looks like. And hopefully between the sort of conversation about the lectionary itself and this sort of overview, this is going to be a very short overview of what the liturgical year is, you'll be able to have a deeper understanding of why we're reading the texts that we're reading and why we're studying the texts that we're studying. So the liturgical year is like any calendar, it runs concurrent with the Gregorian calendar, our 12-month calendar, but it's often envisioned as a great circle. So instead of having different months that we go by, the liturgical year can be seen as this cyclical thing that happens over and over again. And in the liturgical year, within the church year, there are different seasons. So if you sort of think of how we have different months on our regular calendar, the liturgical calendar also sort of has months, but we would call them seasons. And at sort of its widest view, the church year can be seen as being broken into two halves. The first half of the liturgical year celebrates and explores the life of Jesus of Nazareth. It explores what Jesus did. And it does this by pulling stories, the final reading. Michelle talked about this earlier, but each Sunday there is an Old Testament or Hebrew Bible reading, a psalm, an epistle, and then a reading from the Gospels, one of the four Gospels contained. The first four books of the Christian New Testament are the Gospels. And so the church here is very much based on the exploration of those gospel stories. And so the first half of the year looks at the stories from the Gospels, the sort of summit of those readings, look at the stories of what Jesus did, what he was doing. So in this first half of the year, we look at stories about his life. We look at stories about things that he did, miracles that he performed, et cetera, et cetera. The second half of the year is an exploration and a celebration of things that Jesus said, things that Jesus taught. So if you think of the year in two halves, then the first half of the liturgical year is looking at what Jesus did, and the second half is what did Jesus say? Now, it's within this first half of the year, this what did Jesus do, that we have different seasons that are assigned. So we're going to zoom in on those for just a little bit, and I hope that this is helpful. Our lectionary Bible study, the UU Bible Study Podcast, in conjunction with Following the Year of the Woman, Year W, but also in alignment with the other lectionaries that are in use, like the Revised Common Lectionary, we begin our text study on the first week of Advent, which is seen as the beginning of the new liturgical year. Now, Advent is a season or a month, if you think of it that way, that lasts for 4 weeks, and it is 4 Sundays, specifically before the day of Christmas, December 25th. What's fun about the liturgical calendar is that it is actually color coordinated. So if you walk into a Christian church, you can often tell what time of church year they are in based on the colors that they have, they've used to decorate the sanctuary. So the main colors of the church year are blue, purple, green, white, and red. And as the liturgical year, as the year turns, the colors change and give us hints as to what's going on. So our first month, our first season of the church year is Advent. And normally the color that's associated with Advent is blue, sometimes purple. If you walk into a Protestant church, you will probably always see or almost always see blue, whereas in Catholic churches, Roman Catholic churches, it will often be purple. So the 4 Sundays of the season of Advent, as I said, normally blue, sometimes purple, is this time of expectation. It is where stories of preparation are told, stories that lead up to the birth of Jesus. It also, the stories, for example, from the Old Testament and the Psalms from the Hebrew Bible, the epistles, are all readings that will often point to not just the birth of Jesus, but anything that's new, any new adventures, new beginnings, new life, new growth. The season of Advent is pushing us towards preparing for a new thing, the new way that God is speaking to us, is leading to us. In the year of the woman that we're going through, you will probably notice that the 4 readings for Advent are all stories of women being told that they are going to have a baby. It's all miraculous conceptions, which is very much mirroring what's happening in the gospel readings of the life of Mary, the mother of Jesus, who is told that she's going to have a baby. So this season of Advent builds up until the arrival of the Feast of the Nativity, which commonly we call Christmas. Now, Christmas, of course, is a celebration both secularly and religiously. In the Christian calendar, it is the day that Jesus is celebrated to be born. And with Christmas begins a new liturgical season, which is known as Christmastide. Now, Christmastide lasts 12 days. If you've ever heard the song, The 12 Days of Christmas, it's actually a song about Christmastide. Christmastide goes from Christmas Day until January 6th, which is when the Feast of the Epiphany takes place. Now, the Feast of the Epiphany is when Christians celebrate the arrival of the 3 wise men. If you have seen a nativity set, I'm sure you've seen the 3 wise men bringing gifts are in the nativity set. And their holiday, the holiday of their arrival, happens January 6th. So it's a short month of the Christian, of the church year, but it's this 12 days of a festival of celebration. And the color that's associated with Christmastide is the color white. So we move from blue into white. Now with the Feast of Epiphany, we begin the Epiphany season, this month of this particular time of the church year, where we begin to hear stories and celebrate stories of different things that Jesus does. We start to hear stories of his baptism and his first miracles, of him feeding the 5,000, of him performing great feats of miracles and things. And we begin to hear stories about all of the miraculous things that Jesus does in the Gospels. Because again, we're still in this first half of the year where we're looking at what Jesus does. And then this season of Epiphany brings us all the way to Ash Wednesday, which happens normally, sometimes it moves year to year because it is based on when Easter is, and Easter moves each year. Ash Wednesday is the beginning of the season of Lent. Now, Lent is a particular season of the church. It's 46 days long, and it begins on Ash Wednesday. And Ash Wednesday is when we switch from the color white to the color purple. And the color purple is meant to associate with things like repentance and extra prayer and examination of life. And during the season of Lent, we walk with Jesus. The gospel stories that are selected walk with Jesus as he makes his way to the city of Jerusalem, where he's going to be crucified. Now, the season of Lent is often a time when Christians fast more often. They abstain from eating on certain days or specific meals. Many people will give up something that they're attached to, like coffee or chocolate. Some people abstain from eating meat. There's all sorts of ways that people observe Lent, but it's this particular time that's sort of set aside for extra spiritual work. As we are moving Sunday after Sunday towards the death of Jesus. Now, Lent brings us into the Holy Week, which is the final week of Lent, but it's a special little season of the year where we hear in rapid succession the story of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We hear the institution of Holy Communion, the Last Supper. We hear the story of Jesus's betrayal, his trial, his eventual death by crucifixion, and his resurrection. Now, on Easter, on the Feast of the Resurrection, we change, the liturgical color changes from purple to white, and there's this large celebration that Christ has been risen, that the stories then on that day will look at resurrection narratives, of narratives of new life, of forgiveness, of growth, and of celebration. Now, many of us celebrate the day of Easter as a holiday, but Easter actually begins its own season of the church year, known as Eastertide. And Eastertide will go 49 days. So 49 days after Easter is the season of Eastertide. And during this time, we will hear stories. Stories will be read from the lectionary about things that Jesus said and did after he rose from the dead. It'll also look at stories about the beginning of the life of the church, of the Christian church, that is taken from the first couple chapters of the book of the Acts of the Apostles, which is found in the New Testament. And it's this celebratory time of seeing what is possible. Now that Jesus has risen from the dead, what does it mean? What does that mean for all of us? And there's this celebratory time. And at the end of Eastertide, there's a special day known as the Feast of Pentecost. Now, on the Feast of Pentecost, the colors change from white to red. And Pentecost is a celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit and enlivening those who believed in Jesus and those who've been called to live out their faith in the world with divine power. And the story about this can actually be found in Acts chapter 2. So if you go to the book of the Acts of the Apostles, you can read about the coming of the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. But this is a big day. This is a huge feast day in the church calendar where Churches are decorated in red. Churches that I grew up in and were a part of often would invite people to wear red on that day. There are processions and all sorts of things. And after Pentecost, this year, the liturgical year, then shifts to its second half. So we've had a lot of things going on. Before Pentecost, we had all these holidays and different seasons. But with Pentecost marks the transition from looking at what Jesus did to what Jesus says. And from Pentecost, we then follow the rest of the year around. So Pentecost normally happens the last week in May or the first week in June. And after Pentecost, we move into what's known as ordinary time. And ordinary time is that whole second half of the liturgical year where we've shifted from stories about what Jesus has done to what things Jesus has said. And this is a time where we look at the gospel readings are all about things that Jesus said, the teachings of Jesus. And that whole second half of the year is associated with the color green, where the church is decorated in green. The vestments and robes that priests and pastors wear will be green. And the green is to represent growth and life and hearing the words of Jesus and responding to them and living into them. Now, this second half of the church year will go almost 6 months and will bring us all the way back to the start of the new year with Advent once again. So we've been able to move from Advent, which is blue, through Christmas, which is white, through Epiphany, which is white, to Lent, which is then purple, through Easter, which is white again, Pentecost is this bright red, and then most of the year, the second half of the year, is green, where we celebrate and remember the things that Jesus taught. So as we think about our lectionary readings and as we look together and explore these readings, we will always be telling you what part of the year we're in, what season we're in, what Sunday we're in. And hopefully you will be able to see how the readings that we're studying together are connected to the time of the church year that we're located in. And by knowing some of that and being able to see the way that they're connected, I hope that this will deepen your understanding, not just of the text that we're looking at, but why we're looking at those texts at the time that we are. Friends, I'm so grateful for your joining us on this journey. And we look forward to bringing you more content, not just about our texts, but also about ways that we can interact with them in different and meaningful ways, like through the lectionary, like through the church year. I'm so grateful for your time with us, and I look forward to seeing you next week. Be well, friends.